Welcome to the Food Freedom Habit Podcast, where you can find freedom from food crazies using nothing but your own brain. With me, Lydia, the lifestyle coach. Would you like permanent food and body peace without tracking one trigger or calorie? Whether you're dealing with overeating, binge eating, bulimia, food obsession, body hate, or the endless diet cycle? We do all this without delving into past trauma, starting yet another food plan, or monitoring every meal. Live a free life aligned with your health and values. If you're ready for something real, you're in the right place. All episodes are 100% free, so please subscribe to and review our podcast.
Hi, guys. This is Lydia, the lifestyle coach, and coming to you with another incredible freedom story. And, you know, the women, the hundreds and hundreds of people all over the world that are now, you know, free and don't have struggles with food anymore and don't have an eating disorder, like, it is so amazing to see how there are so many similarities to this struggle, and there are also so many variances, right? Like when we talk about we're here to end eating disorders using nothing but your brain, I mean, this is about, you know, food crazies and binge eating and bulimia and body hate and all of that. And sometimes we focus on one thing more than the other, but like we all have a unique journey with this. And the beautiful thing is that the same principles get people free from all of these different issues. And so I'm super excited for us to celebrate one of our amazing, amazing grads, Lisa, today, who has a wonderful and unique story, and but also just so relatable to what so many of us are struggling with. And I'm really excited for you guys to get to know her today. She's so much fun. She's an absolute joy. I've had the privilege and honor of getting to meet her in person and hang out with her. She's been at, you know, our grad retreats, and she's such a friend to the cause. And, you know, we want to really celebrate her in her own individual story, and super excited for you guys to meet Lisa. So welcome to the show, Lisa. Hello.
Hey, Lydia.
Hi. So good to have you on. All right, you guys, this is going to be so much fun. And I mean, Lisa is just so incredibly like talented and intelligent, and like, we're just going to have a great conversation here, and I'm super excited for you guys to get to know her. So let's just start out. Lisa, tell us just a little bit about you. Like, you've had such a cool background. Like, tell us a little bit about you, and then where you saw like food issues for you coming up, and sort of how all of this began.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So let's see. Where do I start? I'm like, I always want to start at the beginning, but currently I am living in California. My husband is military. I was military myself. We met in the military, and I work with animal rescue, feral cat rescue, and have my own. I was in veterinary medicine for the military, and I'm like trying to think of what to say. My origin story would be I had a lot of illnesses when I was a child. From the time I was born, and I was super sick, throwing up, vomiting, losing weight and all this stuff. And at about 4.5, 5 years old, I had surgery. And right after the surgery, my mom like panicked because I started to actually grow. And she was like, oh my gosh, what if you start gaining weight, and basically put me on my first restriction. So, I fast forward like through that period where, you know, you're trying to adjust to puberty and friends and all those other things, and having someone stand over you going, don't eat this and don't eat that. I remember my first binge, or whatever, if you will. I was probably, 8 or 9 years old, and I remember being so hungry. I know now about refeeding and how your body comes back to health and stuff, but at the time, it seemed so traumatic that I couldn't eat, that I remember hiding in my closet, eating a package of frozen hot dogs. So that was my first like memory of like really having food issues. And then I went through, became an exerciser. And so I was like, oh, awesome. I can, you know, just work off and super exercise. And I became a dancer and a cheerleader, I was in Broadway, did tour for a little while, being a Broadway dancer, and then went into opera, and then went into the military. So right from a mom who told me, you know, you're too fat, even though you're like, you know, 20 pounds, to a career that told me you're too fat, you need to lose weight, to another career that told me you were not good enough, to another career where my job absolutely depended on maintaining my weight. And all this time I was having this mental struggle that I just could not figure out what was wrong with me.
Yeah. Oh, Lisa, you have such an incredible background. And let's back up for a minute, because there are so many amazing chapters here. And like you said, there's that thread all the way through of just like the whole time. It's like, you know, dependent on your weight, and there's all of that pressure for that. And I know that you've told me some really like incredible things about the world. Like, let's talk about your dance chapter. Like, because I know it wasn't just you, right? Like in that environment where there's such a huge focus on your weight and appearance. And tell us a little bit about that world and what your experience was for not just you, but like those around you.
You know, the most outstanding moment to me, and I don't know if I ever told you this, but it was the moment I knew I needed to get out of dancing. I had been doing this for a really long time. And even though I was the same size as the rest of the girls, because I was a super exerciser from way back, I was really strong and really built. And I always weighed 25 more pounds than the rest of the company. And they kept telling me to try and get my weight down. But I just remember like having had a weigh-in. I was the same size as what they hired me. They basically told me if I didn't lose 25 pounds that I was going to be dropped off the roster in the middle of the tour. And like, when you are in that shape, you don't have that weight to lose. So I went back to the dressing room and I'm looking around and we're prepping for a show. And I was looking in the mirror and I remember this moment is so frozen in my head. And I was looking, I could see in my mirror, I could see all the mirrors and the whole dressing room around me. And I remember sitting next to someone who was having, she was basically, you know, binging, purging, and the person next to her was maintaining her crazy by doing drugs, and the person next to her was maintaining her crazy by lying about her age and telling everybody she was someone who she wasn't, and the person next to them was doing this thing where they were like sleeping with the girl's husband next to her, and she didn't know, around and around and around, all the way around to the back of me, where there was two girls who were, at the time, this was the thing, was to eat fat-free salad dressing soaked cotton balls so that you could have something in your stomach to get on stage and like make it through the performance. And the other one was throwing up, and I could see everybody all the way around me in the bathroom was directly behind me, where I could see these two girls, one throwing up and one eating these cotton balls. And I was like, something's got to give. Something's got to give. And the next day I broke my knee, and like my career just changed from there. So
yeah,
you know how things happen for a reason. I think about, would I have ever gotten out of that
situation? Yeah.
You know, so.
And thank you for sharing that. I think that's such an incredible picture of the society that we live in and what's made to be acceptable. Like, it's the, you know, thin at any cost, light at any cost, looking this way at any cost. And that, you know, we can all be together and everyone's, like you said, maintaining their own crazy. And so we see what is dangerous and is scary and is really unacceptable as the norm, because, well, if it keeps you thin. So thank you. Thank you for sharing that. And, you know, moving on to that next chapter, Lisa, like, when was it that you started feeling like, I know that you had struggled with food, you know, your sort of, you know, first, you know, binge or those food crazies was early on. But then after you left dance and went on to that next chapter, at what point did it feel like things were really out of control? Like, what was the next level of that food crazy for you?
You know, it's funny, Lydia, is like things never seemed like they were out of control, because I was so like, I would have lost my job had I not maintained my weight. And I remember doing whatever I had to do, wraps and saunas and anything I had to do to keep my weight down. And we were in the military, we'd go through this period where we would, you know, you're trying to be healthy and run this PT test. And I was a 300 PT. I don't know if that means anything to you, but to the military people, I was the top of my game. I was the top two women coming out from my combatives class and stuff. And I still was like, you're not enough, because you are going to be, you know, 1 pound over this weigh-in. It's like amazing. And so like I maintained that control. Like, I honestly think, you know, where you just tighten something, you tighten something, you tighten something, you tighten something until it just freaking snaps. And I think for me, I would have to say it was literally right before I came to the program. I thought I was fine. I thought I was fine. I thought I was fine. You just keep tightening and tightening until it snaps. And I had done everything. I was having, so I went from regular food issues like binging and purging. I did the whole OA thing. I did a bunch of other stuff in between where I was like, okay, because I could never get rid of the mental part. The thing that I could never understand was I was never someone who would sit down and eat an entire quart of ice cream or anything like that. But the mental stuff was still there. Like yeah. The only thing stopping me was that I would like literally be destitute and out on the street if I did that, you know, like, but I wanted to really bad. And I like tried to purge a couple times, just didn't like, it was not working for me. I couldn't bring myself to do it. And so I was like, there was no real way out of that. And I went through a period of like, because I had tried all this crazy stuff and you start eliminating and then you're basically doing shakes and all that. I started developing food allergies, horrible food allergies, things that would close my throat up, things that would cause me to like break out in hives all over. And so I started working that direction. And I think that just really was the straw that broke the camel's back. Like putting that added, like, you're broken, you're a freak, you cannot even eat regular food now. Like I would say, I know this is crazy to use this phrase, but like, I felt like I was broken. My metabolism, I was so low at one point that I was eating. I remember going to a 9 hours of dance, 6 hours of rehearsal and 3 hours in show and after show, and eating 800 calories that day. And everybody else went out to eat because they were starving. But I was like, I can't eat. And I remember I think I just broke my metabolism. I know that sounds insane to say that, but I just got to this point where like nothing would digest properly. I was, my weight was higher than it had ever been, even though I was eating less calories. And I started developing huge food allergies, and putting that restriction of the food allergies and elimination diets and all that on top of the pressure that I was already feeling, I just had nowhere to go. I didn't know where to go. And I didn't know where to go. So that was my breaking point, I think. And
yeah.
I remember talking to you after that. So.
Yeah.
And then I did look back.
And, you know, Lisa, will you help us, you know, to really get a picture of mentally what that was like? Like you said, like the physical stuff is awful and, you know, like the food allergies and your body breaking down. But what is it like day to day to have all of this mental stuff going on with all of these food crazies?
Yeah. So how can I explain this? Okay. So I just remember, this really stands out in my mind as one of the like wake up moment type of things. I was going from one allergy and doctor's appointment to another and like rushing to meet to go to OA to try and fix this problem. And I would like go home, shove my entire dinner down my throat and like rush to a meeting because like I was so convinced that like either the doctor or OA would have the answer. And I was like, what the hell am I doing? You know? And I looked around the meeting that night and like, I never really identified with, like, I couldn't understand like the overeating thing. Like I would overeat and I would think, what the hell's wrong with me? But I was obviously overeating because I was like starving myself. But like, I never understood that part of it until the bulimics and the anorexics came into the room. And that's when I understood you don't have to act on it for it to be real. But when you have that, like the cycle going over and over, I used to call it the hamster on the wheel going over and over, like, no, I can't eat that. Oh my gosh, if I eat that, what's going to happen? Okay, well, I just can't eat that. Let's just go do something else. Let me distract myself. Let's that thing where it's like the nonstop cycle in your brain of, you know, okay, well, I'm fine. I'm on a diet. I know what I'm doing now. Let me start this new program. Let me go to the next program. Let me go to the next program. And like that constant, like, and if I wasn't, you know, dieting, I was thinking about food. And if I wasn't thinking about food, I was thinking about trying not to think about food. And if I wasn't thinking about that, I was thinking about the recipe for, you know, how can I get this? How can I get the carbs out of this? How can I change this fat content? Like, you know, all the calorie thing and all that. And if I wasn't doing that, I was like, before I got injured, I was running like just to get away from my brain, just to like, I was like, okay, like, let me just exercise. This will get out some of the energy and get out the mental thing. And I could never truly break that cycle of like the hamster on the wheel.
Yeah. And what was the most frustrating thing for you about not having your own mind? Like to wake up every day knowing that your entire day is going to be internally dedicated to that hamster on the wheel feeling.
You know, at first you think there's nothing wrong with it. Then they tell you it's healthy, right? So you go through, I went through that whole period of time where it's all healthy and it's, you're doing it because you are, you know, trying to improve your health. You're trying to like maintain your weight. Then you're like, oh, now you're trying to maintain the stuff that's the internal things where you're like, oh, I got to keep my cholesterol down, right? All that other stuff. But I think the difficult part, the most difficult part was the like not having space to think about other things and do what I wanted to do. Like I could work at a very high capacity, but there was always that thing on the back burner that I knew was taking up, my mental space.
Yeah. You know, you're making me think of, I absolutely remember that feeling. I remember, I was, you know, with my husband at the time, like, you know, he had this wonderful, you know, surprise for me. And it was one of those like, amazing, we have the time, we have the resources. This is something where you're supposed to like unplug and be happy and enjoy the moment and have an incredible memory. And I just remember I was beating myself up the whole time because I could not stop thinking of the new trail mix that we had, like in the other room. I'm like, this is so stupid. Like, this is your life. This is your memories. This is your relationships. And all you can think about is like, okay, when can you go and get another handful of that? Or I really shouldn't. Or it's like, how many calories does that have? Let's recalculate how many calories it has. Let's calculate how many calories we'd have to burn tomorrow morning on my workout. And it was so obvious that he literally said, he's like, hey, are you here? Like, yeah. Are you here with me right now?
Yeah.
And I was just like, this is so, so not okay. Like that was one of my big wake up moments. I'm like, this is not healthy. This is not me just like, oh, I care about this. I'm going to maintain it. It's literally like food and weight and calories and exercise is so much more important in my brain than anything else that I know is more important. And I'm like, that's not okay.
Right.
So, yeah.
And the snowball effect of it, like you start out with one thing in one diet. I remember being back in, you know, like one of my lower weights, you know, the up and down and up and down. And you know, having people tell me I was too fat, whatever. I'm like, damn, if I had just stopped at that point, but like, I didn't know that that was a thing. I didn't know that like it could get worse than that. I didn't know. And you start out small and it just freaking snowballs until you're ready to stop it.
Yeah,
you know.
Exactly. So, I mean, ready. Lisa, like your story is so incredible and amazing. And I know what awful feeling that is, like wake up and know that you're going to go through like another day of that. And, you know, I think that one thing that's really interesting is the people who get eating disorders are incredible in so many ways because we can operate at such a high capacity. And we have such discipline and control and like that we can literally wake up and even though it's really, really hard, like we can keep going, right?
Right.
Like you said, there's that snowball where it's like there's a point where everything breaks, where like your body does not cooperate, like it's done. Like it can only take so much, no matter how accomplished or, you know, how driven you are or how controlled you are, there will be a point as this gets worse where it's over. Like people die from this all the time, or they die one day at a time their whole lives because it's like everything went towards that. So yeah. Thank you so much. What were you going to say?
Or have a mental breakdown and
you
end up hospitalized or on medication or leave their kids or do other desperate, crazy stuff because you have just got to make more space so you can like close that part of your brain down, you know?
Yeah. And I'm so glad that you got to the point where you reached out and, yeah. Oh, like what a wonderful and amazing thing and so excited for you. And tell us a little bit about what it's like on the other side. So, I mean, Lisa, we work together, you know, you worked with our team, like you showed up in such an honest and genuine way, and you did the work. And what changed? What would you say is a thing? Was that first little spark of freedom that you remember of like, oh, like this is working, like this is changing? Like, what was that for you?
You know what's funny now, looking back at stuff, there's a lot of times when I didn't realize like I had gotten over things as I went through the program until somebody called me on it or asked me on it or asked me about it. And I think for me, so there was a lot of like, there was just small stuff that I wasn't noticing. You know, like the noise in my head going away faster, you know, like the ability to say, oh, do I want to do this or do I not want to eat this and put something down? Forgetting that I had food like stashed somewhere, or starting to eat something and being interrupted. And then like, you know, someone comes to the door and then you're like, oh, I left half the sandwich and I totally forgot about it. You know, like that crazy stuff. But like, it's what's funny is I look back and I'm like, I probably was free by week one or two. Like two, I think, was a really game changer for me.
Yeah.
Week two. And the mentality around seeing yourself and the mentality around your food and all that stuff.
How many years of struggling?
Yeah. Well, if you count from the freaking 4.5, 5 years old, I would like to say 20, but actually closer to 45 years.
Yeah. So 45 years.
Yeah.
And then 2 weeks.
In two like, weeks. Yeah.
What was the most exciting thing to, after 45 years of struggle, like start getting your brain back and start being able to not have food be an issue? Like, what was most fun for you about seeing that unfold, Lisa?
I think what the most exciting thing for me is I got a lot more out of it than I thought I got out of it. So there's things that are being revealed to me through other things, like through connecting these principles to other areas of my life, through seeing things like a different way, or being like, oh, I've already got this fixed. Now I need to move on and fix this. So like the things that were revealed to me, one thing that I don't know why it impressed me so much, but I remember, this was just a couple weeks ago, and I've been on the program for months and months now, but or like, I don't even know what, 6 months. I don't know how long I've been out, but I was going through some paperwork and I found these like journals of mine, like these like, you know, food things and intuitive eating stuff and like journals to let stuff go and things that had been like, you know, I was trying to be positive and like all, you know, all the mental stuff you do to try and like get over the stuff. And the thing that happened was, I was like, oh my God, wait, let me look back and see when I really started this process. So like I had the eating stuff forever. I had people telling me, you know, since I was 4 or whatever, but like me pulling myself out of it started in 1996. And that was like I had evidence in my journal for more than 22 years. And I was like, wow, I've been working on this for 22 years. And I did not get free until I actually applied Lydia's program, even though I've been working on the same principles and all that stuff, because something happens. And so like realizing well, first of all, I will just say that I would pay every cent I paid again to get back that 22 years, because you cannot recoup that time. And the second thing I would say is realizing that like I've been struggling all that time mentally. Like it never occurred to me that I've been struggling all that time mentally. To have that revealed to you in such a clear way by like the actual date in your own hand, realizing that you've been working on the mental part for so long and nothing had ever changed, that I was like, wow. Like, you know, just the idea that something can like just change it just like that so fast. And I keep coming back to this phrase. I know we talked about information is not transformation. You can have all the information in the world. You can be the person who knows every calorie. You can be the person that knows every diet. You can be the personal trainer that can tell you how to turn your hand in and do the right, you know, thing for your bicep. But information is not transformation. And getting to that place where, you know, you're in action and you have somebody guiding you and telling you what, you know, what you're not doing right, seemed to be the most important thing for me. Yeah.
So cool, Lisa. Love it. And what are you celebrating most about freedom on the other side? Like, how are things different in your brain? How are things different with food? Like,
I have so much more space. I have so much more space. Yeah. So like, I have a lot more like mental energy, but mental clarity and mental focus. My husband is not as traumatized by me anymore. Love my husband. He puts up with a lot. I feel like I am more in charge of my decisions now, and just still learning more of those things, like working on what I want instead of working at that lower level where you're like, what do I need or what do I feel obligated to do? So, yeah.
Yeah. What else? What else is so fun for you on the side of it?
So, the actual like food part, like I would say that's the mental part for me, is like feeling like I have more space to do other things, you know, like other pursuits, jobs and whatever. And, the food part. So I'm like, I don't know. I don't even think about eating anymore. You know what I mean? Like I got on the scale at the doctor's office yesterday. I was like, oh, okay, that's the number. And you know, I don't need to tell you what the number was because it doesn't matter. Like just the idea that that's just information you don't need, you know, like that's something else that they just needed and whatever, you know, like having things be a non-factor, having, feeling like I can go out. Okay. So the allergy restriction was a big thing for me. So like utilizing that and combining that with the program, figuring out my brain and how to work within my, I have TBI. I had an injury and in the military. And so working with the TBI stuff and the allergies and working together to make my brain function better, that's been a huge thing for me.
So let's just be abundantly clear here, because Lisa brings up something so important that I think is so valuable, because many, many of us are on this journey where it's, oh, well, sure, that would work for someone else, but not for me, because I have allergies, I have restrictions. Like you're at the place where your body just is rejecting a lot of things, or like Lisa, like you can die, like your throat closes up if you like eat the wrong stuff. Right. So I just want it to be clear for all of you guys listening, is Lisa's allergies didn't go away so she could get free. She still has food allergies, she still has struggles, she still has all these things she's working through. But I just want to be clear that you can have freedom within that. It's not like that happened, so now you can't be free.
Right.
Yeah.
And also disability or brain. I mean, like not to, you know, air all my stuff, but you're talking allergies, TBI, PTSD. I have had some serious, serious injuries, broken back, broken neck. And looking at all those things and disability stuff and whatever, and still knowing that you can move forward from that place. You know, that doesn't have to stop you. Whatever you're coming, whatever your, you know, I don't want to say baggage, but whatever your personal stuff is that you're bringing with you, like you can still move forward from that place. Yeah.
Yeah. Love that. And I think that's so important. And I love that you have boldly moved forward. And so it sounds like, I mean, having your freedom, right? The freedom of your brain and being able to focus on other things and having food and weight be a non-issue. I mean, Lisa, after 45 years of being so defined and controlled with that number on the scale, what's most fun for you about to be able to like just know what that is or not know what that is and just move on with life and measure your worth in other ways?
Yeah. There's something about it that's just like, I don't even know how to describe it. When stuff becomes a non-factor and you know that it's just not a worry for you anymore, like it just gives you that sense of like, I don't know how to describe it. It takes away that it's a self-worth thing. I think it comes down to like realizing that you are more than the sum of your parts and you are more than the number on the scale. And you are more than like, oh crap, I ate 10 grams too many carbs because like that's going to throw me out of ketosis, you know, like all that crazy and not being able to see that is just like so funny. Like just coming to health and all those other things, not being able to see those things, it just, it takes the blinders off. I feel like, you know, the proverbial scales fell away, like the, off your eyes, you know, like the idea that, and what's, it's crazy now is you can see it in other people so fast.
Yeah.
So fast. You know.
Lisa, huge congratulations. I'm so happy for you. I mean, of, you know, we have so many incredibly powerful women in the world, and for you to be another one of those that the world gets to benefit from you and who you are and all of your talents and your light, because you're not in this prison anymore and you're not on the hamster wheel and you can move freely in the freedom of what you want to do in life, is such a beautiful thing. And so proud of you for showing up and doing the work and navigating the ups and downs. Lisa definitely had wobbly moments just like all of us, and she always chose to come back and align with her freedom. And so, so proud of you in that. And we are absolutely celebrating you. So anything else on your mind for today, Lisa, that is on your heart that you want to share, you know, for those, you know, listening, celebrating you, you know, that are maybe not on the side of freedom yet, like, what would you want to say to them or anything else on your mind?
Yeah, I just want to thank you, Lydia. I thank you. I really believe in the program. I believe in what you guys do. And I really believe you're changing people's lives. And I know you changed my life. And when you see it firsthand, it is different. You can look at people's stories and you can say, oh, well, that's them, or, you know, cause that separation. But the truth of it is, when you come to that on your own, it's like such an amazing place. It'd be like the equivalent of having a child. Like, you can't, you can try and explain that to someone. You can watch somebody else do it. You can, you know, want to do it and, like, you know, whatever. But until you go through it yourself, you just don't understand how much you were living without before.
So beautiful. I love it. And Lisa, I adore you, and I'm so happy that we've gotten to be on this journey together. And I mean, for those of you who are listening and, you know, celebrating with us, just know that, like, there really aren't very many conditions with freedom. Like, it really comes down to a choice. Like, we have just seen hundreds and hundreds of examples of, like, women in all sorts of different situations and men as well. And it's just, we know exactly what it takes to get free. And when people show up and do the work, like Lisa, after 45 years, 2 weeks, okay, there we go. Like, it's there, it's done. And now she gets to live the rest of her life free. And I mean, for those of you who are in that place where you want that and you don't know how to get there, like, that's why we're here. That's why we do what we do. This is the cause. We are ending eating disorders on the planet. It's not going to be a problem. It's going to be something that people think of, you know, like, you know, polio and leprosy and all those things are like, oh, remember back in the day when that was a problem? And it's just like, that's exactly what eating disorders are going to be, because they're absolutely preventable. They're absolutely curable and endable all the way. So you don't have eating disorders anymore. And when you put the right things in place, you can be done. So celebrating you, Lisa, and how you've shown up and really utilize that in your own life. Anything else on your mind for today, or do you feel like we are complete?
I would say, don't let your stuff stop you from being the person that you could be. You know, don't let your disability or your fear or the money or your husband or the fact that you have a kid in college or somebody that needs your attention, don't let that pull you away from reaching your full potential and finding your freedom in your life. That's it. That's all I want to say.
I'm so glad you did. It's beautiful. Absolutely love you, Lisa.
Thank you.
And you guys, like, if you want to be on that journey yourself, it's really simple.
Pop over to lydialifestyle.com/session. That's lydialifestyle.com/session.
Where we are going to walk you step by step for the foundation of freedom. And if we can help you to end this struggle, we will show you how. And if not, then we're going to know where to direct you best from there to serve you either way. Either way, you're going to have that foundation of freedom, but that is the first and the next step to be able to get out of this, because nobody needs to live their life with the struggle. And so anyway, pop over if you guys, you know, want to continue on that journey. So happy that you're part of this community. celebrating you to the max, Lisa, and just adore you so much. And this is Lydia, the Lifestyle Coach, and Lisa signing off. Mwah. Bye, guys.
Thanks for tuning in. If you felt a spark here and want to see how these principles can work in your own life, here is your next step. Pop over to lydialifestyle.com/session. That's lydialifestyle.com/session, where you can book a free session with our team. We'll give you a call and together find clarity on three things. 1, the exact cycle you keep getting sucked into. 2, what isn't working with your approach. And 3, what's missing to close the gap between food prison and food freedom. We have helped free hundreds of women all over the world from their food struggles. These are proven principles that work, no matter how long you've been stuck. This is Lydia, the Lifestyle Coach, signing off. Mwah!